As you can tell from Dave's presentation, one of the nice things that we have at our company in terms of resources is technical expertise. And John Sharon's and I, John's responsible for marketing, and I'm responsible for sales. And one of the things that we do is, we go out and talk to a lot of customers, and we didn't really know what we were going to do with Dave at first when he came in. Dave's a really smart guy, but he can sound so logical and just ordinary, so we really like to take him with us on sales calls because he makes things that are very, very complicated sound very simple. And as we talk to our petroleum partners, and they're looking at biodiesel, they certainly appreciate to have him on the REG team so that they have somebody that they can talk to from a technical perspective. And I think it helps them, it helps us. So Dave is very modest. Have you got that PhD yet?
No,
he's still working on a PhD, but we love this guy, and I don't know why we do that. I know John and I would have a much more difficult time without Dave on our team. So when we think about biodiesel market development and what's occurred with the recent history, you can see just how fast it has grown when biodiesel was being sent into the European market. A lot of export activity led to the growth up to 2008. And at that point in time, the Europeans decided that they objected to all of our good biodiesel going into their market, and they decided to put in some trade barriers, and they filed an anti-dumping duty and a countervailing duty against the U.S. biodiesel industry. And once that was filed, it really did curtail the exportation of biodiesel into that marketplace. A lot of that growth helped support the development of the U.S. market as well. And we had opportunities to talk about an RFS, get that discussion going through the process. And now today, we do have an RFS that has been announced by EPA. And we think that that's going to give us something as an industry we've never had before. A good foundation of demand for our product that up until this point in time, we've had to rely on incentives or other means to create demand for biodiesel in the domestic market. So we're glad to have that in place. As you can see, the industry has set back a little bit last year, but we feel very optimistic about 2010 and going forward because of the RFS, because of some of the other opportunities that we have. We're going to talk about some of those opportunities in the presentation. When we look at RFS2, and as you can see here, biodiesel is considered biomass-based diesel fuel. And you can see there what the requirements are going to be with 1 billion gallons demand by 2012. It's also the only fuel, as you've heard through the presentations with MBB, the only advanced biofuel as well. And so that gives us another market opportunity. I think as an industry, we're very, very excited about that because, again, it gives us some breadth and some broadband in terms of renewable fuels that maybe nobody else can benefit from. So we're very, very excited about that. We think that's going to be a nice market driver as we go forward. And I think the industry is certainly going to benefit from that. One of the other drivers for our business and for our industry has been development of state initiatives for biodiesel consumption. And that can go all the way from mandates such as Minnesota, which has a mandate, a B2 mandate that they have extended now to B5, and that was effective in May of 2009. Illinois, with their tax incentives that they have, which is a huge demand for biodiesel on the domestic market. Iowa, who has a 3 cent per gallon tax incentive, and now I understand that there's some discussion that's being going through the Iowa process where they're considering a mandate of 5% biodiesel in that state. And then some of the others that you can see as well. Or some of those are mandates that have an effective date in the future. Some of them are contingent upon a biodiesel production facility having certain scale in that facility, in that state. And then also some of them are just outright financial incentives. So from an industry perspective, we work very, very diligently to try to help those states that want to have something in place that's beneficial to biodiesel. And as a company, we work hard in that regard as well. We have a couple of people that in our company that work on government affairs and regulatory issues, and we try to assist in that process. Dave Slade gets called into those situations as well, because everybody is concerned about specifications, and they're interested in knowing, well, what's the best specification that we should have. And I think, as Dave shared with you with the BQ or the REG 9000 product lineup, and through conversations with our industry and petroleum partners especially, they see the ASTM specifications as a minimum for the industry. They want to see a higher quality product because it gives them more optionality in terms of how they use it, where they blend it, and how they can put it into into their petroleum product. So we work hard on that. We very much believe and are committed to the quality process. With the RFS2 out, we will be having a webinar. We're going to try to distill down as much as we can the volume of RFS2 regulations, try to get some clarity in some of the gray areas, if you will, with regards to that standard. And we will be having a webinar. That's February 24th. You can go onto the REG website. Alicia, is that right?
Email.
Okay, email address. And you will get the proper registration information so that you can participate in that webinar. We do this on an ongoing basis. I know John, from a marketing perspective, has held several webinars for the benefit of the petroleum industry, just to share information that we believe is valuable to them. And we feel that as leaders in the industry, that's something that we should do. So again, with RFS, we need a little bit of time to wade through the volume of material, but we're going to have a webinar. I'd encourage all of you to participate in that.
It's free,
yeah. So it's a great value.
It's free.
Exactly. Other biodiesel drivers that we see, the ASTM D975 diesel specification, it allows up to 5% biodiesel to be included in that. Depending upon local jurisdictions, may or may not require labeling. We are aware of some states that have gone through the process and that they're allowing biodiesel with up to 5% concentrations to be in the fuel and doesn't require any labeling. And we're excited about that. We feel like that is just another step for biodiesel to become more of a fungible product with the petroleum product as well. Greenhouse gas emission goals, the low carbon fuel standard in California, Massachusetts, and others that are considering a similar approach with regards to greenhouse gas emissions and low carbon usage. We feel like that's going to continue to evolve in development, and we want to be a process of be involved in that process in a constructive way as we go forward there. We really don't know just quite how that's going to develop and to the extent that it's going to develop, but we do know that there is a lot of interest in taking that approach to reducing greenhouse gas emissions. And then as we look at the industry and the opportunity, we believe, much like the National Biodiesel Board believes, that there are huge opportunities in developing some other markets. The heating oil market represents a huge opportunity, and we've had some challenges getting there and developing that market, but I really feel that with the heating oil industry as a partner, they are really, I think, with the biodiesel industry coming together to develop bioheat as a way that they can preserve their market for heating oil. They are faced with challenges from the natural gas industry, and they see this as a way to rebrand themselves or enhance their image by utilizing a renewable fuel that's produced here in the United States, putting that in with their petroleum product, and creating a new image and a new branding opportunity for them. So we're real excited about that. John believes that that's a huge marketing opportunity, and we're going to focus on that as we go forward. The power generation market is another market that is very, very exciting to us. And John, would you please stand up? John Sherrington is Director of Marketing for REG. We just secured a contract with Hawaiian Electric for supply of biodiesel to the islands for power generation. John was instrumental in getting that contract. He one day was sitting there, he says, "Hey, what do you think about an opportunity to supply biodiesel to the islands?" And I said, "John, if I can go there and take the lunches, I'm all over." So John took it, and I got to tell you, there were a lot of challenges in trying to get that done. If you think about the logistics challenges, the regulatory challenges, and John saw it all the way through, and he secured that contract for REG. So John, appreciate your diligence in that. That was fantastic. The mining segment, with the new air emissions scrutiny that they're under, another great opportunity for biodiesel. I think it's just starting to develop. John, with his marketing expertise, I'm confident that we're going to make great inroads in that market. And then the government as well is, continues to make announcements that they are going to continue to support and broaden their use of biodiesel. So we see those as markets into the future that are going to continue to develop and give us more opportunities as a company and as an industry. So, bottom line, what are we looking at? An RFS market, again, foundation that we've never enjoyed before as an industry. We've come out of a very challenging time as an industry, but I think with reinstatement of the blender's tax credit and the RFS2 in place, it holds a lot of promise for our industry, and we've really had some very difficult challenges, some attrition within the industry, and I think stronger companies are prevailing, and they're going to be able to be a dynamic industry going forward, and dynamic market participants. Opportunities within the Canadian market, and some of the things that they're doing there, they have some federal mandates in place, and then also just international markets. Biodiesel just growing all around the world. Europe has been ahead of this for quite some time, but we're seeing other areas of the world, such as Australia, the Malaysian area, the Pacific Rim, South America, all starting to look at ways that they can use home-based renewable fuels, much like the U.S. marketplace is. So I think that we're kind of on the forefront with Europe. I think that we are rapidly catching up, and we're doing the right thing because we as an industry and as a company are developing green-collar jobs, and those jobs, I think, are good for our country, and that's the right thing to do. So all in all, we're very, very bullish on 2010 and going forward, and excited about the opportunities. I know I see some of our producing partners here. We're glad that they're here, and some of our petroleum partners are here as well, and we're glad to have you here. We're glad to introduce you because over time, we know from the past that when our production partners are talking with our petroleum partners and they get a good, great sense of what we provide as a company in terms of strength and bringing partnerships to this business. So with that, I thank you very much. Dan, I'll turn it over to you. Yep.